New World Witchery is possible thanks to the generous support of our sponsors. We'd like to take a moment to recognize our producer-level Patreon supporters. Abby, Akia Branvansianak, Aromages Botanica, Athena Beth, Baga Marsh,
Braga, Benjamin, Brianna,
Carol, Catherine,
Christopher, Conjured Cardea, Daniel,
Dave, Don, Donna, Aaron,
Griffin, Heather, Jen Rue of Rue and Hyssop, Jess, Jody,
John, Jonathan at the Modern Southern Polytheist, Christopher, Matthew Venus, Minimiel,
Montine of Book of My Shadows, Nikki, Peyton, Scarlet Pirate, Stacy,
Stephanie, Ralph from Hola's Haven Podcast, Violet, and Wisdom Queen.
To show your support and keep the show going, please consider visiting patreon.com/newworldwitchery, pledging $1 a month or whatever you can. And as always, thanks to all of our listeners. Are you looking for magic? Maybe magic that lives right where you do?
If so, join us aboard our broomsticks and ride with us from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Yukon to the Yucatan, and find magic that's right outside your front door or just off of Route 66.
Whether you're in the Windy City or the Crescent City, the city that never sleeps, or the city of brotherly love, we've got enchantment for you.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane, and this is New World Witchery. We're talking past, present, and future this time around as we look at some favorite episodes from the past 5 years and finish up our Green Witchcraft Book Club.
We'll also do some divination for each other and look at some of our upcoming projects and plans. Hi, Lane.
Hello.
It's weird because you're right in front of me.
I know. We haven't, like, made eye contact while recording in a long time.
I know. We tried the Zoom thing where we have a video, but I think it was for Myth Taken episode.
Yeah, and it didn't really work that well.
It did not work out because we actually would wind up looking at other screens, and I think it actually made it more awkward. We would actually try to avoid eye contact with each other.
Yep.
But now we're here, and you can't do anything about
it. That's right. I'm looking into your soul.
You've had a very good month.
Yes, I have.
Do you want to tell the listeners about that?
Yes. So I had my breast reduction surgery, and I feel amazing.
You look amazing.
Thank you. I can, like, fit into clothes now, which is nice. I mean, I could before, obviously, but it was not fun. I've actually had fun shopping the past, couple times I went, which, honestly, I don't think I've had fun shopping since, like, sophomore year of high school. Mm. So that was good. But yeah, like, everything's, you know, healing really well, and I can already tell a difference in my pain levels and my back, and it's just been great. It was, like, one of the best decisions I've ever made. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even, you know, I said, you know, you look great, and, like, that wasn't just a sort of, like, your boobies are littler. Like, that wasn't just that for me. It was, like, you came in, and you were, like, radiant, like, you were absolutely radiant, and, like, you know you're wearing this kind of, like, sort of witchy outfit and everything, and, like, you just were radiating this kind of, like, you know, witch girl in you know, in charge, you know, head witch in charge kind of energy, like, just when you came in this evening. And I was like, that's great. That's it's the whole carriage of yourself, the whole energy that you project now is really, really,
I definitely feel taller.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like I'm not trying to hide myself as much, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I'm very proud of you, very happy for you. So that's a good thing. This time around, we're kind of doing a retrospective, because the last time that we were, I think, face-to-face to do an episode, and I may be wrong about this, I tried to look back and kind of find maybe other places where we've done this, but definitely one of the last times that we were face-to-face, we basically did a retrospective about previous episodes that we had done that we really, really enjoyed, and kind of talking about, like, what were some of our favorites. That was 5 years ago. Actually, 5.5 years ago at this point.
That was in
2016.
In a Starbucks parking lot?
Yes.
The car?
Yes. Yeah, we had the microphone up on the dashboard. We were just kind of talking to each other. So we're doing that again this time.
Yeah.
Not in a Starbucks parking lot. We're actually at my in-law's house recording this. But it's been 5.5 years, almost as long as it had been since the last time we did it. And I, you know, it's been, we've done something like 100 more episodes since then.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah,
it's crazy. So we're going to unpack some of those. We're going to finish up our Green Witchcraft book club tonight, mm-hmm. Which we basically have done everything so far. We've got one chapter that we're talking about meditation, and then kind of wrapping that up, talking about things having to do with that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about kind of what are our plans, what's coming down the line for us in the future, for the rest of this year and maybe kind of longer term as well.
So, yeah.
And we did some card reading about that too, so we'll share that tonight.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I feel like we have to kind of introduce why we did the card reading before we talk about the actual reading,
but yeah.
we'll have to get there. What do you want to start with first? Do you want to do book club? Do you want to do plans and projections? Do you want to do... whatever the other thing was that we were going to... Oh, the favorite episodes.
Well, we've been starting with book club, so maybe we do that.
Sure. So we were doing basically the last of Green Witchcraft by Anne Mora, Aomiel, Green Witchcraft 2. Oh, this is your last chance to come up with a sequel title.
I know. I was looking at that.
I don't have one.
You don't?
I don't have one. Green Witchcraft 2. The Lost Witch, The Lost World, I don't know.
The only thing that's coming up is Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel.
That's pretty good. That's like having a familiar, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Witchcraft, Green Witchcraft 2, The Squeakquel. That's great, I love it. Oh my goodness. Okay, so we did this book club, and we did Green Witchcraft 2 because we both had a fairly good experience working with Green Witchcraft 1 and the Grimoire back when we were first starting out working together, and prior to that kind of in our younger days as mm-hmm. practicing witches. And this time we're covering a chapter that talks about meditation, where she talks about kind of different ways to do meditation for witches, which I'm happy to kind of unpack there because there was some stuff in there I liked, but... I don't know. Well, I guess let's start with that then.
So, yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay. Okay. Well, so she's getting into something that I think is really, really nice, which is that she doesn't just sort of treat meditation as the sort of transcendental meditation that we sort of think of, right? The sort of calm, still your mind, control your breath, that kind of stuff. Like, she makes meditation any practice that sort of takes you out of yourself for a little while. And so she has, one of the things she has you do actually is like you choose an animal and you sort of project yourself into that animal.
Oh, cool.
And you spend some time as that animal. That's a meditative practice. And I've done that as a sort of witchcraft practice, mm-hmm. as a sort of like transformation, like a shape-shifting practice.
Yeah.
Where you put on a mask of something else or you sort of take on the mindset of something else. And I think it's a really valuable practice, frankly.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on a practice like that?
I've never done it, but I mean, I can already picture, you know, like just, I don't know, thinking about being a bird and like, mm-hmm. you know, looking for worms to eat and mm-hmm. flying and, you know, just cool things like that. I can definitely see that being interesting. How do you think that would like translate to witchcraft though, besides just like what you were saying?
Right, this sort of shape-shifting.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sort of component. Well, I think one, it puts you into a situation where you're able to understand the sort of spirit of those creatures potentially a little better. So that when you're calling on them in other types of witch work. So if I, you know, one of the things I've done, you're going to laugh at this, one of the things I've done that shape-shifting into is a rabbit. Of course. Yeah, you, one thing, I'll post this on our Instagram, but Lane, you know, in coming here tonight, she's like, I have a little present for you. And she gave me this little set of stickers, one of which said, the Belladonna is in my handbag, which is great. I love that. One of them was like, I was street kitties, and it was like a possum and a skunk and things like that, which yeah. I love. And the last thing she gave me was a photo, a sticker photo from the movie Watership Down that says Trauma Ship Down. And it's this like bloody rabbit face. Because if you've seen that cartoon, you know, it's horrifying.
It's absolutely chilling. It really is.
So anyway, but yeah, so me and rabbits. But so I've done that, and it's one of those things where then, you know, I do use, so I have a lucky rabbit's foot that I collected in a very specific way. And having done that sort of shape shifting helped me sort of feel that obligation to the rabbit as well.
Oh, yeah.
It made me feel like I can't just pass this by because, you know, what if that had been me, right? Like,
yeah.
And so it does sort of put that sort of relational connection in there. And yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's valuable. So I think there's that to it. I do think there's a danger, and she verges on this a little bit, I think, of anthropomorphizing too much.
Mm, I can see that.
And she's good about not overdoing it, but I do worry, like, she sort of is, she talks about how, you know, she wasn't, there have been times when she sort of saw an animal in the wild, like she was staring at a wolf in the wild, and like, she had sort of had this experience before, where she wasn't afraid of it because of this, and I'm like, so, on the one hand, that's awesome, and I really feel that for you, and that's great power. On the other hand, that's also very dangerous, and you have to be very careful about the real-world implications of, like, not remembering a wild animal as a wild animal.
Right. It's like when you get into healing magic and remembering that you should also pair that with medicine.
Yes.
Same exactly. type of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. You work with both, right? You
yeah.
get vaccinated, for example, while also doing protective work for, you know, your household and your family. There's nothing wrong with doing both.
Right.
Both. Poor kid always does.
That's right.
As I would say. So I think that that's really cool. And it makes me think of, we talk about this experience all the time, but this experience of being out in the woods that one night and the deer showing up.
Me too. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
And that connection, right? Like that feeling like, you know, if we had had this moment, like if we had done the projection work like this and had spent time as a deer, how would that have been different, right? Even more sort of elevated or...
Right.
I wouldn't have jumped in front of me and started screaming at it.
I believe you barked like a dog.
I did. I went, if I may quote myself.
You may.
So, but like, that's so interesting because like, you know, that comes to that point of like, you want to remember a wild animal is a wild animal. And in that moment, all I knew was there was a wild animal about 5 feet in front of us, right?
Right.
And we wanted to not be eaten alive.
Yeah, that was great. So. Before it even clicked and it was a deer.
Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't afraid of us. It was like, all right, weirdo, I'm here to help you. So maybe you just put that back where it came from. Thank you.
Put that thing back where it came from. We're so healthy.
See, it's all Monsters, Inc. references with us anymore. She's out of our hair. So that's kind of what she's talking about in this meditation chapter. She does get into some of the transcendental. She's sort of making these different differentiations. But one of the things she talks about is this type of meditation where, like, you lay on your back, you look at the stars, and you're sort of basically projecting yourself out into the stars and the cosmos. And I don't know if you've ever... Did you ever get into astral projection at all at any point in your witchy career?
Kind of. I tried kind of experimenting with dreams and, like... dream travel in a way, but I never got very very far. What about you?
So before I was practicing as a witch, before I would have called myself a witch, I was interested in folk magic and everything, but I was very interested in this concept of astral projection. And I'm gonna keep giving you ammunition. I'm just gonna keep doing it all night long. I was really into Star Trek.
Oh, well, I knew that.
Okay. And there's this character on The Next Generation called the Traveler who shows up in season one and sort of picks Wesley Crusher as this, like, he's the one to watch because he's going to have the special destiny, special purpose, right? And then season seven, I think it's season seven, it's either season six or season seven, I think it's season seven, he comes back and he finds Wesley again, and Wesley gains this ability to essentially phase out into space and like travel wherever he wants to go.
Oh, that's cool.
With this traveler entity so that he can learn and grow and expand sort of the it's almost like being a member of the Q continuum, but not as dastardly and cruel and or sort of judgment. Like they don't have power over other things. They're just sort of they're like the science branch of the Q, you know?
Maybe not as like trickstery.
Right, they're not doing anything like that.
Okay.
And so...
And that's my full knowledge of Star Trek right there.
Oh, I've got layers. whole decks.
I mean, we want to go like Star Wars, I'm there. Well, Star Trek, that's you just pulled out all I know.
It's everything you got. No, well, that's the thing. It's like Star Wars, I would get lost after a certain point because I've seen the movies. And, well, I know a little more than nothing, but not much.
Right.
But Star Trek, I'm pretty deep into. And so that traveler character, this idea of sort of like phasing yourself out among the cosmos to go and explore space. Mm-hmm. I was like, that sounds like the job I want forever.
Yeah.
So I would do that. I would do these astral projections. And so like I had a journal. I think I still have it somewhere where like I wrote down these little things, these journeys I would take where, sorry, if you're hearing weird noises, we're in a house. There are other people here. You may hear occasional background noises, but like, so I remember one time I'm going out and visiting the rings of Saturn.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Like going through those and sort of seeing up close the rocks and stuff like that and getting like really close and just like what a marvel that was, and visiting Phobos and Deimos, the moons of Mars, mm-hmm. at one point, and just like that was a very powerful experience for me.
That's crazy. In a good way.
Right. But at the same time, it's one of those things where I'm like, I was like 13 at the time. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily, I don't know how much stock I put into it, but it was important to me at the time.
Yeah.
And it, you know, there's that. So all of the stuff that she's talking about, I was like, I don't think it's a secret that I haven't loved everything in this book.
Right.
But it was funny that this was the last chapter that we read, because it was like, I do that, and I do that. Okay, I won't say anything about it. It's fine. So. But what about, so for you, for meditation practices, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, like what falls under that bracket of meditation for you? And do you have regular meditation practices now, or have you ever?
Not to sit down and say, okay, I'm meditating. But I do know that knitting is a big one. It will actually like change your brainwaves from, I don't know the science behind it.
It's like alpha to beta or something like that, yeah.
Or theta or something like that. Right. Who knows? It's a Greek letter.
It Greekifies your brains.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And I really enjoy doing that. And then also I've been journaling lately, mm-hmm. which I was telling you about. And that really helps just kind of, you know, get all my thoughts out. And it really does feel like I'm in a different headspace when I'm doing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that it's a very meditative act. And you mentioned to me that you also have been seeing people doing journaling that was very aesthetic journaling.
Yeah.
And that to me is something where I can see the meditative side of that too.
Like, yeah.
It becomes a sort of project of unpacking yourself onto paper.
Yeah, because it's really nice to kind of go through all my little, you know, things I've saved and or things that I've bought. Mm-hmm. Like, the, you know, little landscapes on vellum or, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of just fun stickers or things that, you know, are taken. Like, I have that sticker book, the Victorian. They took images of, like, that they found in, you know, books from that time, mm-hmm. and made them into stickers.
Neat.
And there are some of them that are really, really interesting to look at. There's, like, a whole page on, with skulls and skeletons and, yeah, things like that.
The Memento Mori stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I think I had posted this on Discord, mm-hmm. But it's been a while. When I first got it, or I was looking in Target when I found it, and the first page I opened it to, it had a skeleton key and a compass on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to get this.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
Yeah. So it is nice to kind of find the perfect sticker and find, you know, like I said, the perfect whatever to add to, mm-hmm. it to make it mine.
Yeah, right.
I really like it.
Do you, and so thinking about this kind of in connection to witchcraft, like to me, there's sort of it's almost like doing spell work, but in a kind of a sandbox for spell work where there's no consequence to it, right? So you're just learning how to combine things metaphorically on a page to create a feeling or an impression or something within you.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily intending to take that and then project it out into the world. So it's sort of a practice run of sort of understanding the symbols and metaphors that might be valuable.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And also, I mean, just in a practical way, I intend to use a lot of those same things that I'm doing in a journal for my future Book of Shadows as well.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So, you know, because I want it to look very kind of collage-y and added to over the years and things like that. So
it's the practical magic book is what you want. Everyone wants that. Yeah. No, I've gotten to the point where now, like, I don't know if I've got, yeah. So my quote-unquote book of shadows, probably should not talk away from the microphone, but this is what I'm doing. I'm a trained actor. But, like, so this is what my book of shadows looks like, so to speak. This is what I call my commonplace book, where it's literally just stuff jammed in there.
Into a Moleskine? Is that how you say that?
Yeah, it's just a Moleskine that's been, you know, there's stuff in there, but it has that quality of, like, all the stuff that's in there means something to me, and I use it for magic. But it's a different kind, it's a different approach to that, right?
Yeah.
So yours is kind of meditated and focused and all that. And mine is my Gemini brain
in a
cover binding, right? So that's interesting. It's really fascinating. So that's this chapter. Overall impressions walking away from this book then. What do you feel like?
I feel like that it is not for me anymore. And that's okay. And that it also want to make clear it's okay if it is for you, you know, if it's something that you still work with and all that. Like, that's fine. There's no condemnation with this. It's just, it's not for me. Either, it, like, the a lot of the ritual doesn't really work for me anymore. A little too wordy. But overall, I do think she has some, you know, good ideas that I can put into practice. And I'm not sad that we did this or anything. It's kind of nice to, because I don't think we really meant to do this, but we inadvertently are kind of going through our whole, like, magical career, for lack of a better word. And seeing how much that has changed and evolved, and that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I agree.
And that doesn't, again, that doesn't mean above anything or better than. It's just different.
Right. Well, that's what, I mean, that's what evolution means.
Exactly. Yeah.
People hear evolution and they think the sort of, like, fish to monkey, and that is somehow an evolution of worse to better.
Right.
And it does never mean that. It only means things have changed, and some of those things changed in a way that helped them survive a new set of environmental circumstances.
Right.
It's true for us in witchcraft too, right?
Yeah.
So the environment we find ourselves in right now is a much more justice-oriented and socially conscious environment, I think, than we felt like we were in 1998 or in 2002, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And so because of that, I think that the evolution that our witchcraft has taken has in some ways been really, really good, but also been much more challenging and much more fraught at times too. We have to, you know, we've learned, it's like there's things that we don't do anymore because we've learned, that could be harmful.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And it's fine that, you know, when we were ignorant of it, we take responsibility for that.
Right.
But we don't do it the same way now. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I kind of leave this book in that same way, saying, like, this is not, doesn't really represent who I am anymore. I was intrigued to find occasional moments where she would say something and it would click, and I was like, oh, I remember why I liked what she's doing. There are pieces of this that still work for me or reside with me.
Yeah.
But as a whole, this is no longer what I would sort of adhere to within my practice.
Right. So. It's not like a guidebook that I would use page by page by page.
You could really, yeah. Not the way that we're practicing. And some of the stuff, I would say, is best left in the past, too. There are definitely some moments that she gets in there. Either the history has been better understood now and would probably need to be revised in an updated edition, or, you know, just things that she says that I don't think would hold true for most practitioners anymore. But
yeah, but
I don't know. Yeah,
I can't think of anything to point to right now. But I know there were some things that we came across.
Yeah,
but
I'm thinking, like, the sort of collapsing a lot of sort of cultural deities into sort of one sort of blanket statement about them and things like that. Or she would make sort of blanket statements about certain practices. But again, that's going over this with a fine-tooth comb. That's what we
did. Right.
And I think we were inevitably going to find stuff like that. I think you could do that with my book. Same problems. You give it 10 years, I think you'll find even more.
I started to say that when yours was written a year ago, and this was written 2002, is that what you said?
Something like that, about 20 years ago, yeah.
Phew. Okay. Yeah.
So that's how we walk away from the book club. And I do want to talk about, you know, what are we going to do next? Are we going to get into another book club for the rest of this year? Are we just going to sort of make a return to doing sort of more broadly topical shows? What are your feelings on this?
I mean, I'm cool with either, but I think it might be better to just kind of go back to topics until maybe next year. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, do a poll or sit down and think more about which book we're going to be. which book we're going to be discussing.
Right. Come up with some options. Because I do like the way we've sort of gone through sort of two places in our past. Mm-hmm. And so now should we jump ahead and do something that's more contemporary to us, or should we kind of take that next step and look at like something that would have been maybe right around the time we met? Right.
Well, I would really like to read maybe one of Peter Padden's books.
Yeah.
But I don't know how easily those are attainable.
They're easily, you can easily purchase most of them.
Okay, good.
There were a few I think that were a limited release, but Lee Visceral Magic is really easily purchased. The Grimoire for Modern Cunning Folk is easily purchased.
Okay, good.
So yeah, so it's a good possibility. Yeah, because he was a big influence for both of us.
Oh man,
I miss him.
Me too.
So yeah, so we'll kind of look at that. I do want to say I am planning to do. So I'm currently doing book clubs for a couple of different groups and people. So I'm doing the Simply Witched book club on their Discord server, which is going on right now during July. And so they've gotten some additional material from me. I'm going to do kind of a Q&A with them, stuff like that. And then I'm doing for Witch With Me, which is, they are a fairly big YouTube account, or not YouTube, Instagram, fairly big Instagram account. They also put together a really interesting book club. And so I'm, creating a whole bunch of teaching materials and resources to go along with that. Be doing a live Q&A with them as well. So doing book clubs with both of those groups. But I was thinking, like, after that, I may make a Patreon book club to go through my book for people who are interested. Because I feel like doing that on the show may not be a good choice for several reasons. The biggest one of which is that is the size of the book, and it would take us a very long time to try and get through that book on the show, I think.
I mean, that's fair, but what else do we have but time and opportunity, right?
Touche. So maybe at some point in the future, maybe we can look at that. But I do want to have for people who are interested that are on our Patreon or are specifically through our Discord server, but I'll try to make it available through Patreon as well. Have some additional materials and do some prompts and things like that to sort of help people get the most out of the book that they can. But I'll be kind of doing that throughout the rest of the year. So if people are interested, they're welcome to, you know, if they're part of our Patreon support network, then it's a perk you get for that. So, but yeah, I think returning to sort of topic-based discussions on our main show for the rest of the year, I think is a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's kind of you know, talking about the book club, plans with book clubs, etc. Do we want to talk about
more books?
More books?
Yes.
Why not? It's a booky sort of episode.
Yes, it is. So Corey and I are writing a book together.
Yay!
I think that's the first time we've said that out loud.
I know.
Well, I think I may have said it to my husband, yes. But... Yeah,
no, I said it to my wife as well.
Yeah, but
yeah,
we're very excited. We've already got a couple chapters, and we've got what we think is a title, a good concept, and we don't want to go too much into it, obviously. But Yeah, we're both really excited.
We are, yeah. It's going to be a very kind of practically oriented book, but there will be some folklore built into it, and you're bringing in some literature and pop culture elements as well.
I like to think so.
I think it's fun. But yeah, it's a totally different experience co-writing.
I'm sure.
Which is, it's one of those things that, like, we'll get into this, I guess, when we get into the card readings, but, like, it can either, cement or utterly destroy friendships. We'll see how this goes. But so far, the experience has been really, really good. I've really enjoyed the chapters that we put together so far, particularly, like, one chapter where we really both threw a lot of input in together. Like, that has been a really interesting experience, and I think the chapter is one of the strongest chapters for it.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited about that. But we are going to be pitching that around to publishers and see who nibbles and see where that goes from there. But either way, it's almost a guarantee that it will reach the world somehow. So, you know.
Here's hoping.
So we are going to be writing that book that will be coming down the line sometime. I don't want to give a year because I don't know exactly when, given publishing.
Yeah.
But in the nearish future. So. Okay. So I think that kind of covers that. We are both, going to be working on this book. So, if we occasionally kind of disappear from social media every once in a while, that might, we may be like deep in the writing phase. So please forgive us if that happens.
Okay.
Well, should we jump into shows? All right.
Let's do it.
All right.
We're staring each other down.
I don't know why we're doing this, but I feel like I can't stop, so. So do you have, I've got a little list of the episodes that I was, I sort of think of as ones that I wanted to kind of bring back up as really, really memorable.
Okay.
Do you have a list as well?
I don't have a list written out, but I have a few in my head.
All right. How about, do you want to give me a couple of years out of your head? Because I want to hear some of the ones that you're...
Years?
Some of the yours out of your head.
Oh, I thought you said years, and I was like, I don't know the years, I'm sorry.
No, I've been in the North too long. No longer say year. Or is that more Southern to say years?
I don't know. I just say yours.
Yours.
Yorn.
Yorn. Order some yarn.
Okay, so one that I think of is the meme one that we did.
Okay.
And that was a lot of fun because we explored a lot of different things in that episode. It went to a lot of different places. But it was also really funny for me.
Love the memes.
I do. So yeah, that was a good one. I liked that one a lot. And plus my husband got to be on that one.
Oh, that was that one. Yes, so digital witchcraft. That was the whole digital witchcraft.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, because we also talked about the idea of, like leaving digital sigils and, like, your documents and stuff. That was an interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband was on that one. That's fun. Did we talk about meme tarot readings in that one?
No,
that wasn't a thing at the point.
It wasn't. So tell a little bit about that. I hadn't heard of this.
It's something I love, and I actually want to kind of mess around with it and do some stuff with it on a few different fronts. But the idea is that there are a lot of memes that people know really, really well. Just by looking at the meme, you understand the format. So, for example, distracted boyfriend is a really common one.
Yes.
Where you have the guy in the blue shirt in the middle. He's walking with a really attractive woman on his right, but he's looking over his shoulder on his left at another attractive woman who's walking past him. And so you can do a tarot reading based on that. And you basically do the girlfriend that you should be paying attention to is what should you be paying attention to. And then you use for the actual boyfriend your current kind of state of affairs. Like, what are you feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then, for the woman walk by, what's distracting you? What's pulling you away from your actual task?
Which I think is a really good, card reading in general. Just, even if you just, want to do that in a 3-card reading.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It's a clever idea. And
it
you can
is.
Do that with a lot of different meme formats. So there are some, like, there's the, I think one of them is like the SpongeBob "I am out" meme, and like it's just I think it's sort of like you do, like, I think it's just two cards, and one of them is like the situation that's making you uncomfortable and your best sort of possible solution to getting out of it.
That's nice.
So it's kind of run that way.
One of my favorite image macros, I guess, is that still the phrase we use? I don't know. Is the two ladies who are like screaming and pointing.
Yeah.
And then the cat going.
Yes.
Smudge. His name is Smudge.
Aww.
But I adore that meme, and so I would like to try to find a way to put that into a tarot reading.
Yeah, no, that I think that one has been done as a tarot reading.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of them that you can do that with. So I've posted them on social media before, but if I can find them, I'll put them out there again. But that's a fun kind of update to that episode.
Yeah, that is
for sure.
So what's one of yours?
So one of the things I feel like I always really enjoy episodes where I learn something. And like every interview episode we do, I feel like I learn something from the people that we have on. But there have been a few people that we've interviewed where like it's not just that they reveal fascinating witchcraft stuff. Because very, very much every guest that we have reveals interesting magical stuff. I've been surprised that there were a couple of guests that we had on that revealed really fascinating kind of science-y type stuff.
Ooh.
That I loved. So we had Becky Beyer of she does a lot of kind of wildcrafting and Appalachian plant lore. So she the episode we did with her, I was interviewing her, and she kind of was talking about this whole idea of like pioneer plants and colonizing plants. And I know that there's a lot of like fraught terminology.
Yeah.
But the idea is that there are, like, when you have a forest space, there are certain plants that are going to grow at the edge because they grow quickly, and they can provide ground cover for the things that are going to grow more slowly, and they become this sort of symbiotic relationship. And so it's this interlocked sort of web of life right at the edge of the forest, and it's a really fascinating thing to kind of get into. So I loved her sharing some of that. And we had Kat Borealis on as well, who is a geologist, and she just has... It's just so much insight into like stones and rocks, and she'll actually kind of like she's not just going to sort of be like, and this is moldavite, and this is what moldavite. I shouldn't say moldavite.
No, you shouldn't.
The podcast is going to collapse in on itself. I mentioned that citrine's the new one, right? But she'll kind of talk about like, well, no, so chemically, this is what that stone is, and so this is kind of what you have to think about. If you're talking about citrine, it should look like this because this is its natural form. If it's not, it's a heat treated amethyst of some kind, right? And so being able to understand that and then think about like, well, how is it mined out of the earth? Would it be better for you to find something local that you go and mine yourself out of a quarry and does something similar, in that way save sort of the blood diamond problem out of
right.
this, right? So that kind of stuff always fascinates me. I love having guests on that bring the witchy knowledge, but then also bring in that little something extra too. Mm-hmm. And everybody, I think, does that when they come on the show. They bring that stuff that the science stuff has been, was just something that sort of stuck out to me. I was like, wow, we actually had some really interesting kind of science discussions in there too. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, what's another one of yours?
Ocean magic.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why, but that one just really, because I, as we discussed, I don't really like the ocean very much. Mm-hmm. But that one just really resonated with me. I don't know. I feel like we got into a lot of really good stuff in that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, seaside stuff is some of the stuff it's actually some of the very first stuff I wrote about on the website, and some of the stuff that I'm super fascinated by when it comes to folk magic. Like, you can give me sailor folklore all day long.
Oh yeah.
Sea shanties, I'm there. Like, when that hit hard on TikTok this year, it's like, yes, my time has come. But so yeah, so it's fun. That was a good one for sure.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that one?
No, nothing deep. Just
I like it.
I like it.
Kind of in the sort of tooting our own horn vein, that one might be. I actually really liked in 2017 our All Hallows Read episodes were all based on children's games.
Oh, that's right.
Wrong.
I couldn't even finish one of them. It was so freaky.
Was it the computer play?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It freaked me out so bad.
I don't know why. Like, I do those episodes and I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm just kind of like doing them into the void. I have no idea if people actually like the storytelling episodes or not, but it's something we started, so I just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that year, like, I even did that little intro where it was the, like, the different voices and the kids' voices coming in and all this.
Yep.
And then, like, the actual stories, I actually spent a lot of time adapting them and kind of pulling them from the internet and kind of updating the stories that I was finding. And, by the end of it, I was like, these are actually terrifying stories. I love them so much.
Maybe I'll try to listen again and finish the one.
Well, and then that year, I think we also ended that with our Spooky Stories Live episode, where we, like, did a live episode and we had people sharing spooky stories.
Yeah, that was at my old house.
That was pretty great.
Aw, that was great. That was fun.
So, all right, what's another one from you?
Oh, I don't know. Go again. Jog my memory.
Well, okay, I'm not going to be able to jog your memory a whole lot, because I'm going to talk about a couple more guests that we had on that I really liked. One of whom we've had on twice, which is Via Hedera.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I really want to get you on an episode where we interview her again, too, because she's so much fun to talk to, and she's also so knowledgeable about folklore. But the second episode we had with her was just this kind of, like, halfway through it, I was like, okay, I've asked you all the questions I needed to ask you that are, like, actual questions, so now can we just, like, you know, make our favorite, like, magical Pokemon plants and things like that? And we just kind of went off on the rails. It was so fun.
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah. And we also had that, had Aiden Walker on at one point, too, and he's also very, like, his energy is really good. It's like this kind of, like, super chill. He puts you at ease talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Gemini, so I have a lot of, like, nervous energy when I'm talking to people.
Yeah.
As you can tell. So, like, he was a very calming presence on the show. So both of those guests, I think, were very good. And if you've been one of our guests and I'm not mentioning you, please don't be insulted by that, because I've loved every one of our guests. I'm just kind of talking about some of these ones that, for one reason or another, stood out to me during that time period. Mm-hmm. So, do you have another one?
I'm sure I do. I can't.
Ooh,
sorry. Yes. Can't think of any right now. I'm sorry. I'm woefully unprepared for this.
Oh, that's okay.
I thought I was better prepared, but I'm not.
Well, what I'm curious about, so you don't usually wind up on our interview episodes, but you actually did get to do an interview episode pretty recently.
Yeah.
What was kind of your takeaway doing that one?
It was a lot of fun. I liked it. And yeah, she was great to talk to.
Yeah.
And I do think we definitely hit on a few topics that we might not have necessarily gotten there, or mm-hmm. not we, but you guys might not have gotten there. Not to like toot my own horn too much.
No, but add something to it. Yeah,
just the, you know, like some of the knitting and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and surprisingly, some of the sort of journaling and creative, just sort of the creative process stuff, I think, was something where, like, as you two got talking, I could hear you both kind of like opening up about
mm-hmm.
kind of creativity in general, and your backgrounds as well. Both of you were talking about the influence of sort of poverty on your creativity.
Yeah, that's true. That was. And I think that's an important thing to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that was good, for sure. Right. I'd like to be on more if we have a chance.
I think I need to start, like, planning for you to come on some more of these mm-hmm. interview episodes, because it really is fun to have more voices kind of getting into it.
Yeah.
So. I don't know why. I think it's always just been a sort of situation where, like, we did a couple of the early interview episodes together, and then at some point it was just sort of like, you know, you felt like you weren't contributing or something like that, or I started scheduling them and they just weren't, their times were conflicting too.
Yeah, so. I don't even think it was me pulling away. It was just like, well, it's not really working out, you know, for all these certain times. So
right,
you do them. You're great.
Work with it from there.
Oh, yeah, thanks. And then you moved,
right?
You know, and that was even harder to get.
That's mainly why we stopped doing it, is because we couldn't physically get together in the same room and interview the person at the same time.
Right.
That's what stopped it. Now that you say that, that's exactly what it was. And now we don't have that limitation anymore because the internet.
The internet has changed.
Yes.
And evolved.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there may be some more lane on the interviews in the future. Okay. Well, the last kind of set that I wanted to talk about in terms of episodes that I look back fondly on, it's not necessarily ones that I'm sitting here going, like, wow, those were good episodes, but just, like, how funny it is that we sort of had this run of episodes that was all about food. So we had an interview with Guillaume Raven, who wrote The Magic of Food, mm-hmm. which is all about food and cooking, and he was fantastic. I actually think about his interview quite a lot, just because he was another one of those people that kind of had a really great rapport. But he talked a lot about kind of the magic of food and, like, you know, these ancient recipes that he was sort of updating and using in modern day. And then we went on and did our Cornucopia of Magic episode a couple episodes later.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed.
Me too. And then we did a Patreon-only special.
To add on to those.
Yes, that was, like, desserts and...
Desserts.
Chocolate, things like that.
Yep. And then we did Ritual Feasts and Fasts a few episodes later after that, so...
That was cool.
It's like, were we just really hungry this year? Is that what was happening?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness. So, maybe we'll be really thirsty this coming year. We'll do more seaside sorcery. Maybe we can do lakes and rivers.
Can we talk about, like, Adam Driver and, like, Tom Hiddleston?
Thirst traps. Yeah. No, Tom Hiddleston any day of the week. Come on. Yeah.
I think I just outed myself.
Yeah, thirst trap magic. Yeah, for sure. Love that.
I am very thirsty.
Very, very thirsty. Parched. Looking at you, Tommy. Yeah. So that's fun. Yeah. So that's kind of what I got.
Okay.
Is that good for you?
Yeah. Go for me.
Yeah. I'd be curious to hear what other people, like, were there standout episodes for other people? I know we had a lot of people contact us about the dreams episode, for example.
Yeah.
So that was fun. That was a good thing to do.
I even had a friend who... is kind of like marginally interested, but, you know, kind of doesn't really believe in too much, which, you know, is fine. I'm not trying to convince her, but she was very weird about listening to the podcast. She was like, I just think it would be weird because I know you. And I'm like, it's fine. Trust me. I don't care. Like, none of my friends, I'm like, you have to listen. You know,
right.
I have another good friend who was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't listen this month. And I'm like, no, no, don't ever apologize. It's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, she actually did listen to one, and that was the one she picked, was the dreams episode. And she was talking to me about it a little bit.
Yeah. Did it resonate with her a little bit more? Because dreams are such a universal thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And she does put a lot of stock into her dreams. Yeah. So.
Which makes sense. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
It's a good access point. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got cards and listener email. I'll go ahead and just get the listener email kind of out of the way, because this was actually kind of a business listener email.
Oh, okay. Right?
And this was listener, I'm just going to say listener T, written saying, hey guys, I wanted to drop in and let you know how much I love the show. Been a solid listener since I first found out about you. I have a quick question. I know you're both extremely busy, but I wanted to see if it's at all possible to purchase a signed copy of the book still.
All right.
So the answer is it will be. But so far, people haven't actually been able to purchase signed copies at all, because most of the signed copies are going either to promotional or to our Patreon supporters at the highest sort of tier. And that's just because that was sort of what I had wanted to do and sort of promised to do from the outset. But sometime, I think in fall, I will be totally caught up on mailing out the Patreon ones. And once that's done, I will get a set of copies that I will sign, and we'll make those available for people to purchase and win and do things like that.
So, awesome.
Yeah. So just taking care of some business there.
Yeah, that'll be good.
All right. So let's, I guess, get into cards.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. So because we're writing a book together, we decided since we're here together, let's read cards on this project.
Yes. And we had all kinds of decks that we brought.
What were the, you brought two. What
yeah, so I brought the Rider-Waite Tarot, and then I brought the Literary Witch's Oracle.
Mm-hmm. And I brought the Wicked Kingdom playing card deck, which is one I use a lot for playing card readings. And then I brought Mildred Payne's Oracle of Black Enchantment from the Deviant Moon Company, which is a very saucy deck.
Very.
And we kind of... broke this up into, we were reading one card from each deck, and we came up with the kind of four P's that we were reading for. Was the project as a whole, our partnership on the project, pitfalls that might be in our way, and what are the possibilities, or I like kind of the way you put it, what's the Polaris, right?
Yes.
The star that guides us through this.
Yes.
So where do you want to start? I guess we should start with kind of the project as a whole, which is Literary Witches, right?
Yeah. And I remember saying, okay, Literary Witches of the past, what do you have for us? So this one was really funny, actually, because if you don't know the deck, it's kind of, I think, 25% authors and maybe 75% just everyday objects or maybe animals that can kind of be, you know, interpreted how how you want. And so for some reason, I fully expected to get a literary or an author card. And we got the bees.
Bees.
So, of course, you know, our mind goes to Oprah. Uh-huh. That meme of her saying, everybody gets bees. Bees fly out everywhere. and then Nick Cage and his remake of The Wicker Man were not the bees. Oh, my God. There's so many ridiculous things. But, I mean, I really do feel like that's a good one to pull. You know, I automatically think hardworking. I think you said industrious. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Working together.
Yes.
So that's very good cooperative for me. Yeah.
Well, and the outcome from bees working together is sweet.
Yes.
It's a sweetness.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, which is a positive thing. I also said women-led.
Yeah,
you did. Because all the worker bees are female and the queen is in charge. And then we also said that by the end of this, I will be dead. I will be cast out from the hive and dead on the ground because I'm the drone. But hopefully that's not the case. But I did think that was really, really interesting, just in terms of like how that all works. And there's also sort of a sense of like planning to it too, right? Like bees seem to operate off of a structure, you know, they make honeycomb, right?
Yeah.
So there's a planning component to that too. I think it's a good card to get for a project.
I think so too.
So then partnership. I did the Wicked Kingdom playing cards. And I pulled the Three of Diamonds, which the way I read that is generally sort of like three coins in a fountain. Which, if you think about throwing coins in a fountain, you're making wishes and hoping they'll come true. It's a positive card, but there's not a lot of depth to it, which I think is okay. It's kind of playful and light. And I think that really does reflect the partnership that you and I have, even so far in the chapters that we've written, particularly the one chapter. It was really light and playful. We had fun with it.
Yes.
And I hope that that's what continues.
Me too.
The other side of that is, like, three coins in a fountain also brings back to mind, you know, the song, right?
Yeah.
With Sing It, which has to do with Trevi Fountain.
Oh.
And the idea is there, if you put your coins in a Trevi Fountain, eventually you'll always return home, right? You'll come back to Rome, right?
Oh.
And so that was the other side of this, and that's not something that we discussed about this, but I was thinking about, like, huh, so this is kind of a return to us, a return to kind of...
I like that.
Partnership.
Yeah.
Because... You know, we've been doing the show, we do a lot of things together, but it's all sort of very digital in some ways.
Yes.
And the book's going to be digital, but it's nice to have a physical thing that comes out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And it sort of feels very real and like a concrete return to us when we're here together working and doing witchcraft at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like physical space.
Yeah, which is pretty cool, because that's not happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, next one was the Pitfalls.
Pitfalls, which was the Mildred Payne's Oracle of Black Enchantment. We pulled card number 45, the Seance, in which a group of mourners are surrounding a table holding a seance and fail to notice a ghostly hand emerging into their midst. And it was... So, I need to preface this by saying this deck is... It is not afraid of you. When you read from it.
It will call you out.
It will tell you exactly what it thinks.
No questions asked.
So, when I pulled it, what was really funny was that there are two ways to read it. There's kind of what they call the dark reading and the light reading, and you can really use both in conjunction and sort of see, you know, these are your options, your trajectories. And one is that you combine your energies for a greater purpose. Like, that was literally part of the reading, the whiteboard meaning. And then the flip side of that was that you could be opening a portal that would best remain closed. So the pitfall of this is that by writing together, we could potentially, set ourselves up for some disappointment. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be good for us to remember that that's the possibility we're trying to actively avoid.
Right.
And if we focus on working our energies together to make something great, and we actually make this kind of a partnership as we work through these chapters, I think it'll be amazing.
Yeah, that's when you get the bees!
The bees! All right, and so for Polaris, our possibilities.
That was me. So that was the Rider-Waite deck,
mm-hmm.
and I pulled the Page of Wands. And that one was really interesting as well, because it also talked about partnerships, you know, possibly a relationship. And it said either of, like, you know, lovers or, what was the specific word? Do you remember?
Faithful friend.
Faithful friends. Yes. That's right. So I feel like that describes us.
Well, and even more than that, it also said start at the start of projects and the announcement to the world of your intention.
Which is, we had planned before that, before we started drawing cards, we were saying, okay, yeah, we'll announce this this time.
Yeah.
So.
So by doing that, we're hoping that we're setting ourselves up on this path. And it also had to do with, like, messages and information getting out there. That was part of it. Like, a lot of different levels of this work. There's also the kind of lightness and youthfulness of this, too.
Yes.
That sense of sort of, like, the Three of Diamonds being compared there, so.
Yeah. I thought that was cool.
I thought that was really, really great. I enjoyed that. I thought that was a fun set of readings. I am looking forward to writing this book with you so hard.
It's already been pretty good.
It's pretty great.
Knock on wood. No, I don't want to mess up them.
No, the sound. Okay, there you go. So yeah, so we're moving in that direction with this. So, you know, again, this is just kind of an episode where we're looking back, looking where we are, and maybe looking forward a little bit. And as we kind of move into the rest of this year, we're going to be doing more kind of focused topics in magic. We have a whole list of those that we're going to be getting into. But we also love to hear from you, hear the stuff that you'd like us to talk about, too. If you have ideas for topics that we haven't covered, if there's a favorite episode that you were listening to or that you think about and you think, I wish they would do more on that. That's another thing that you can contact us about. We'd love to hear from you at www.newworldwitchery.com.
Or you can email us, and that's compassandkey@gmail.com.
Just like the stickers, right? Yeah. Or you can email us at newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Patreon, which, you know, we have a lot of fun stuff. And that's patreon.com/newworldwitchery.
You'll find us on a variety of social media. We're probably most active on Instagram, Twitter at this point. Facebook, we still post shows and major information there too, so that's not a bad place to find us either. In theory, I think we have a Pinterest board. I don't know if I've done anything with that in years at this point, so I apologize. YouTube as well. We actually just hit over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, so that's a good thing. And I'm doing not quite weekly, but pretty close to weekly posts there as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's another place to find us. In theory, we're also on TikTok, but I don't know how that's going to work. I am not a TikTok generation person, apparently.
I'm not either. It's all right.
I love watching them, but creating them just stresses me out.
Aww. So. It probably would be, too.
Anyway. So, yeah, so that's all the ways to find us, get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you, so please do reach out to us. Anything else for this time around?
It's awesome to see you physically.
It is awesome to see you physically. We are in the same space, which also may mean that sounds a little wonky this episode, but I think it'll be okay.
I think it'll be all right.
Yeah. So, Elaine, thank you so much for literally coming over and being here and having these chats with me and writing a book.
Woohoo! Yay!
And doing amazing magical things. So thank you so much. And thank you all for listening.
Be well.
New World Witchery is a production of New World Witchery Podcasts and is released under Creative Commons Share and Share Alike license. The title and closing music for this episode is Woman Blues by Paul Avgernos, licensed from AudioSocket.